Turn in your Bibles with me this morning to John chapter 6. We started this year in 2023 with a reminder that the Christian life is like a marathon race, that we're to run the race with patience or endurance, keeping our eyes on Jesus, who's the author and finisher of our faith. We run a race in life. Life's hard. Life's tough. There's many difficulties in life. We've got to keep our eyes on Jesus or we'll go astray or we'll step in a dangerous place if we leave the Lord out of our thinking. We must keep our eyes on Him. We have to know where the course goes, to know His will. We don't know today exactly what His will will be tomorrow, except that we're to serve Him, we're to live for Him, we're to pray. But He may bring something into our life that He's using in a miraculous way. If we're faithful to Him, great things can take place. There are many twists and turns and distractions along the way. And many people get distracted and step out of the straight and narrow path and get in a danger zone. Many problems that we're going to face. And sometimes we can become discouraged. When you drive down the interstate highway, you've got to keep your eyes on the road. You don't have time to look off at something on the side of the road and wander over in another lane. You might be a statistic if that happens. And you've got to keep your eyes on the road. And we've got to keep our eyes on our Lord, who has set the example of the path for us to walk. We looked in the book of Isaiah at the names that describe the deity and the attributes of our Lord and Savior. We saw Emmanuel, first of all, in Isaiah 7:14, where unto you a virgin will conceive and bear a son, and they'll call His name Emmanuel. Matthew records that and shows it as Jesus and says Emmanuel is to be defined as God with us. Jesus is God with us. And so we focused on that some. Matthew 1:23, if you want to verify that. Isaiah 9:6, we saw these different names that the Lord would be called by. Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. We saw in our study that these names remind us of who Jesus is and how He helps us throughout our life. Number one, His name would be Jesus because He would save His people from their sins. Salvation is in Jesus Christ. You know Jesus, you have life. And that's God life. That's eternal life that you receive. It's not a matter of waiting until you die to see if it's going to balance out, if you're going to make it or not and all that. No, you can know Jesus today and have eternal life from this time forward. We are being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. All things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Hardships, difficulties, you know what those are? Those are boot camp for life. God's using those things to strengthen us and make us more like Christ. I remember, I've told you before, I went to Paris Island in the summer and was in all the exercises of the Marine boot camp. And I got a few pictures in an album. One is all of us sitting inside an auditorium getting ready to have some kind of program up on the stage. And when you look at all those Marines, just like all of you sitting there today, you look at all those Marines, they all look alike. They got the same haircut. They got the same tan. They got the same uniform. Most of them have about the same build. The guys like me lose weight, and the little skinny guys put on weight sometimes, you know. And so they all kind of look alike, and that's the desire of the Marine Corps is to make you just alike and to follow the orders that are given to you. And we are to become like Jesus Christ. God wants to see the image of Christ in us, in our attitude, in our desires, in our actions of what we do. I have a book in my library that's made by Victor Book Publication. is compiled by a man named Henry Gareppe. I've never heard of him before. I don't know anything else he wrote. He really didn't write this. He just compiled the statistics. It has 100 portraits of Jesus Christ in the New Testament. 100 names he's called and 100 descriptions of his attributes. All of his titles, like Jesus is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, from John chapter 1 and verse number 29. Like John 3:16, where Jesus is called the only begotten Son of God, meaning the only Son birthed by God. We are saved spiritually by the grace of God, but we weren't birthed like Jesus, the virgin-born Son of God. He's the only begotten of the Father. Because of Him, we will never perish. That's perish with an E, not perish with an A. And because we will never perish, we have eternal life. Our Lord and Savior in John chapter 1 is called the Word of God, the Logos in the Greek language. I want to show you another place where He's called that, Revelation chapter 19 and verse 13. When Jesus comes back to fight the battle of Armageddon and then set up His kingdom, physically comes to the earth. First time He's going to call us up to heaven to be with Him, but then there's coming a time where He's coming back to this earth. When He comes in the clouds to call us to heaven, nobody's going to see Him except believers. That's going to transpire, the Scripture says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Boom, and we're with the Lord. But at the coming to earth, the second coming, every eye shall see Him when He descends out of heaven, coming back to this earth on a white horse, verse 11 says. I'll read verse 11 through 13. I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and He that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness He doth judge and make war. His eyes were a flame of fire, and on His head were many crowns. And He had a name written that no man knew but He Himself. And He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and His name is called the Word of God. Our Savior is everything that God's image can be and expressed visibly in the person of Jesus Christ. He took on flesh. That's called the incarnation. And by doing that, He made visible to man the mind and the heart and the love that God has for us by willingly laying down His life on Calvary's cross. Hebrews 1 tells us that God spoke in the Old Testament through the prophets, but now speaks to us through His Son. Jesus is the Lamb of God. Jesus is the Word of God. We've placed our faith and trust in Him, and we're followers of Jesus Christ. A disciple is a follower, but a disciple is a very committed follower. He is seeking to become like the Lord. That should be our desire, because God is working in us by His Spirit and through the circumstance of life to shape us into the image of Jesus Christ. And we are followers. All of that's introduction this morning. What I want to get to is found in John chapter 6 and verse 35. There are 14 times in the New Testament that Jesus revealed He is the great I Am. John 6:35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that believeth, he that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He said, I am the living water. He told the woman at the well in John chapter 4 that if you drink of the water from this well that was Jacob's well in Samaria, you'll be thirsty again. But if you drink of the water that I can give unto you, you will never thirst again. There's a symbol in that, and that is a spiritual symbol. He wasn't telling her that she'd never have a thirst for water again. He was telling her that he would fulfill her needs and desires by putting faith and trust in him, Jesus Christ. That's what eternal life can do for you. The title, I Am, comes from the book of Exodus. Many of you know this as students of the Word of God. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, God was telling Moses he was going to send him to Pharaoh to tell him to let my people go. And Moses was afraid about all this. Moses said in verse 13 of chapter 3, and Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, hath sent me unto you. This name, I am, in the Hebrew word for this means I who am. And the word is part of the name Jehovah. And so that's where we get the understanding that the Lord revealed himself as Jehovah to the nation of Israel. The root of this word is Hava, part of the name Jehovah. And he said, you tell them that I am has sent you. I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And it means to exist. It means to be. In the Greek language, in the New Testament, he said in John chapter 8 and verse 58, before Abraham was, I am. Revealing that he is the great I am. And in the Greek language, that name means I have been and I will be in the future. It's like he revealed himself to John in the book of Revelation. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. God was in the beginning. We have the book of the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. That's not God's beginning, that's our beginning. God has always been, he will always be, and we can count on him to be there for us in the future because he is eternally God, the great I am. He said, you go to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go. Moses said, who am I to go before Pharaoh and do this? Then when he gets to Pharaoh, he finally obeys God and he goes and he tells Pharaoh, the Lord said, let my people go. And Pharaoh said, who is God that I should obey him? Who is the Lord that I should obey him? There are many people out in the world today that don't know who the Lord is. Many people have a little religion, but they don't have a relationship with the Lord. They need to come to know him that is the great I am. Him that is Lord, him that is Savior, that we worship and serve. In John 6:35, he said, I am the bread of life. Jesus feeds us with what we need. He satisfies our hunger and thirst. He satisfies the longings and the cravings that we have within. The great I am will sustain us and replenish us so that all of our needs are met. If we yield to him, he will give us the vitality and the vigor of a spiritual life to do what pleases God and is acceptable in his sight. He infuses us with power by his Spirit living within us to supply all our needs. We need to feed on him. We feed on him by the study of his word, by spending time in prayer, by what you're doing today, being in the house of God, to hear the Bible explained so that you understand more than you did on your own study. Jesus told the woman in Samaria, give me drink. She said, how is it that you, being a Jew, would ask me, a Samaritan, to give you water? He said, if you knew who was talking to you, you'd ask of me and I'd give you living water. And she said, I don't see you have a bucket or anything. You don't have anything to draw with. How are you going to give me this living water? And he began to explain more to her, and she said, she caught a little concept. First, she said, I perceive thou art a prophet, because he knew things. He could see things. He understood things she had not revealed. But then she said, they say Messiah will come. And Jesus said, I that speak unto thee am he. I am the Messiah. That's the Lord Jesus. Our name Christ means the same thing, the anointed one of God. Jesus told her he could give her living water so she would never thirst again. And she desired this water. He also told the disciples he was the bread of life in John chapter 6. That which satisfies our needs. I ask you today, are you feeding on the Lord Jesus Christ? Is he satisfying in you spiritually so that you don't have to look for other things? We don't have to look for another Savior once we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. He brings satisfaction. He said the Holy Spirit will spring up in you like a fountain of living water, that it will come forth like a fountain. You'll be speaking to people in the name of God. You'll be doing the work of God and the will of God. You can take the Bible and show someone how to be saved because the Holy Spirit can reveal these things to you. Jesus can supply all your needs. He feeds us with grace and mercy and wisdom and discernment. So we need to take it all in. We need to grow in our knowledge of him. Peter said, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in 2 Peter 3:18. We feed on the Word. Revelation 22:17, coming at the end of things, makes an offer to come to the Lord, the last invitation. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Jesus is the one that people need. Feeding on him through the Word of God. Feeding on him by knowing him as their Savior. God help us to focus on the spiritual in our life and our walk with God, and not on the needs of the flesh and the desires that the flesh can keep bringing up to us that we've conquered through knowing Christ as our Savior. Jesus is the bread of life. In the Old Testament, he fed them with manna in the wilderness. But they ate that manna and it was angel food. It supplied all their needs with vitamins and that sort of thing. But they did get hungry again. They went out every day and gathered it, 6 days a week. They couldn't gather more than one day or it would rot. But except on the Sabbath. And on Friday they could gather enough for 2 days and not gather on the Sabbath day. Miraculous. God did things like that. But Jesus said when you ate a manna, you needed to eat again. But he said, I have come down from heaven. And if you eat of me, you will never need to eat again. He miraculously used a lad's lunch as an example to them in John chapter 6. And he fed 5,000 at the time of the Passover. The next day in John 6:27, they said, give us this bread you're talking about. And Jesus said, you saw the miracles, but you're here for the bread. You're here for the free meal. Get your eyes on the spiritual, on what it represents. The explanation of salvation in verse 37 through 40 in John chapter 6. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that all of which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. the Father gives us to the Son. And we who believe and come to the Son receive everlasting life. We must come to Christ believing. We must receive Him. We must believe what the Bible says of Him, that He died on the cross for our sins and He rose again from the dead. He's alive forevermore. He is the Son of God. And by faith, we can know that. We can believe that. We can be assured of that. And all who do will never be lost. The unsaved are searching for all kinds of things, fulfillment in their life. They're living by their desires, by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. 2 Peter 2 talks about those that get caught up in false religions. In 2 Peter 2, verse 1, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of." Pernicious can be translated lascivious, lasciviousness. And lasciviousness means the same thing as pernicious. It means absence of restraint. It means wantonness. It means where people are living by their desires. And the judgment is pronounced upon those that follow that way of life. Verse 10, he said, "But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness, despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities, whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption." There's coming a day of judgment for everyone that is not a believer in Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad you're saved today? I'm glad I'm saved. I thank God for it every day. I'm thankful because I was in the pit of sin when God saved me. He took me out and cleansed me and put my feet on the rock. And everything good about me is by the grace of God. And anything I do wrong is when I slip and get in the flesh and say something I shouldn't or think thoughts I shouldn't. And I can bring that to God and confess it to Him, and He'll cleanse me of it and forgive me of all unrighteousness. Jesus taught the people. Their questions suggested they wanted a sign from Jesus about the bread. And He said, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger or thirst." The Jews were just focusing on that big picnic they'd had with the Lord miraculously feeding the 5,000. But Jesus spoke of eternal life and those becoming a partaker by faith in Him. He says you'd never hunger and never thirst. The woman at Samaria, He said He'd give her to drink of the water that she would never thirst again. And Jesus can give you that living water, satisfy the longings in your soul to know Christ as your Savior and to have eternal life. Jesus said, "I am He." He is the great I am. Water is a gift from God, like air we breathe. We are dependent upon it. It's vital. You can't live without air. You can't live without water. Our bodies are about two-thirds water. All we are in our body is in need of the supply of air and water. When I was wounded in Vietnam, I had both my lungs were penetrated and collapsed. I couldn't breathe. My lung cavity filled up with blood and fluid, and I could just barely breathe from the top of my lungs, just pant like a dog sucking for air. And they medevaced me on a helicopter and got me to a hospital, and the first thing they did was stick two IVs in my neck and then cut me in the side of my ribs and put a chest tube in to let me breathe. Then sent me on into an operating room, and when I came out, I had a chest tube in the other side because both lungs were just as bad. And I wanted to die on the helicopter because I was in such pain and because I couldn't breathe. But they kept talking to me. They kept me awake. They kept me from going into shock. And they got me to a place where I could get some help. I know what it's like not to be able to breathe. I know what it's like to be thirsty. I carried 6 canteens of water in Vietnam. It was 110 to 120 degrees in the shade in the jungle. And we'd have to carry for miles and miles through the jungle a heavy pack. And boy, just every little bit, your tongue would get so dry you couldn't even make slava. We'd drink that canteens of water. And then we'd go to some stream with squiggle-tail mosquitoes in it and fill our canteen up in there and put a halazone tablet in it to kill all that stuff so you could drink the water and not die from it. We were thirsty enough to drink that water. You ever been that thirsty? You ever been when you couldn't breathe? God has given us air and God has given us water to supply our needs. And God has given us eternal life so that we'll never have any needs. Water is an amazing thing. It cools, yet you can boil it. It can become steam. You can freeze it and it becomes ice. Yet God created it such that in streams and rivers the ice will freeze on the top but not all the way down. And that way the fish and all of them can live in it even though the stream is frozen over. And that's a miracle of God. That's the thing God has done for us. All we need in this life has been supplied for us by God. We never tire of water. Our bodies will always need it. 1 Corinthians 10:4, Israel in the wilderness needed water. And they cried out for it. And God showed them a rock. And Moses smote the rock with his staff and it broke open and water came out. Created a stream and it saved their lives. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:4, that rock was Jesus. He's the giver of life. He's the one who is the living water. God gives us rain. We don't always like it. But if you get somewhere where you don't have rain, you'll be thanking God to get it. And God rains on the just and He rains on the unjust. The world benefits because God is blessing us. And we should turn that around to honor Him and glorify Him. The gift of living water, the gift of living bread. When we partake, we'll be satisfied. Our need will be met. To know the Lord as your Savior, you have eternal life. Christ will fulfill your needs, and you can walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh, and not fulfill the desires of the flesh when you walk in the Spirit of God. God will help you. Today we think about one of the attributes that God has given to those who have the Spirit of God within them. The Holy Spirit produces the fruit through us of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Is your life characterized by those fruits? One of those is love, that highest form of love, the sacrificial giving kind of love that God had for you to give His Son, that you have for Him because of your thankfulness, and that you have as a husband and a wife for each other. The sacrificial giving life where you think more of the other person's needs than you do your own. That's all because of the gift of God. We should thank Him and praise Him and honor Him. Exalt His name, for He's worthy of our praise. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank You for the faithfulness of Your people in being here this morning. I thank You that Jesus is the great I Am. Thank You that He has met our needs. I'm so thankful that September the 14th, 1975, You saved my wife and I together in a church service much like this one. It was a startup church. They didn't have nice furniture, didn't have a nice building. They were just renting. But Lord, You've blessed this church with everything we have and no debt to string over us. You have blessed us and supplied our needs. We pray that if there's anyone here who does not have Christ as Savior, you'd deal with them by your Spirit so that when our pianist plays a verse, they'd come and let us take the Bible and show them how to be saved. And we offer that to all of you here today. In Jesus' name, amen.